I'm gonna tell you the truth. I was so scared. I was climbing out of my skin. I could hear the voices just whispering, you don't have what it takes, girl. Go home and hide under your table. I'll provide the blankie. But I just thought I'd reconsider. What if there's just another story I shouldn't learn? Maybe there's something else I could be. I start to discern the voice of the father who said, I got a little thing for you to do. Don't use your voice. It will stay inside of you. So sing it, girl. It's time to shine. Let me tell you a little story now. It didn't come all at once. I practically peed my pants so many times. But it depends on how you see it. It depends on how you work through it. There's a way you can learn. You can learn to take risks and relearn to win. So come on, let's do it again and again. And again and again. 'Cause if you and I ever get the vision, we won't hide out in that cave again. Yeah.
Drop a turtle on. Julie the Jew on vocals. Take over, Julie.
I want to share a couple of things with you, because so you'll know what these are in case you're interested. And then I want Ami Ledoux to give you the 5-minute testimony example of something, what it looks like to learn and to be nurtured in freedom. So this is a middle grade fiction book that I wrote and released in December for kids about 9 to 14 and adults. And this book is really a God-breathed book. And it has so many layers. This is called Mrs. Amazing and the Seed. And it would be like if Roald Dahl, who wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and Shel Silverstein, who has some crazy good poetry, and maybe Dr. Seuss, and maybe like C.S. Lewis, and your favorite science teacher all got together in a room and they decided to write a book together, it would almost be as good as this book. Okay? And this is about a family. This is a really important message for kids. If you have grandkids or you want to read it yourself because it's super powerful, you'll engage with it. Where, depending on where you are, you'll see different things in it. But this is about a family that knows there's another realm. And they live at a time when they're told that there are no other realms. There's nothing truly mysterious. And they are, and people are forced to conform to what's called the prescribed order. And all the children are sent to the grown-up factories where their imaginations are crushed. And this family knows there's something else. And they risk everything to find it. And just when it all goes sideways, they run afoul of the facilitator of the grown-up factory. And their family is ripped apart, and they're tossed into a whole other experience that they can't even wrap their minds around. And just when they begin to understand what's happening to them, they realize they have to come back and deal with what was happening before they left. And they learn they have to return home to face a really heartbreaking crisis that may result in their teenage daughter losing the very thing that they risked so much to give her in the beginning, which was a way into this other realm called wonder. So if you've ever invested deeply in a child and it feels like everything you ever wanted to give them they've thrown away, you will love this book. And if you have a child, sort of adolescent age, 14, 15, and they're really struggling, they'll relate to this book. If you have younger kids, they'll relate to this book. And there's a way in for everyone, and it really calls people to think about systems of indoctrination and compelling us to only think in certain ways, controlling environments, and what it takes to live free of that. So it really is on the, it addresses some of the things that we're talking about here. Like I said, if you're an adult, this will touch you really deeply. I have parents that just call me and say, I can't tell you how deeply this book touched me. And if your kids are in environments where there's a lot of pressure to conform, which most kids are in nowadays, this will really begin to speak to them. I recently had a kid who was really not, his parents had to take them out of a traditional schooling setting. And he's 12, when he got to the part where they're sharing what's happening in the hearts of these kids, he turned to his mom and said, Mom, I know what that feels like, because this is what was happening to me. So that son opened up about what was going on for him in the high-pressure environments he was in. And another child came forward recently and said of this, relating to this character that's really, really struggling, this adolescent that's feeling really alienated from her family and feeling really left out, this child went to Grandma and said, you know, I know exactly how she feels. So this is super powerful. Very fun. You could do a whole school study on plant biology from this book. And let me tell you, what did we used to say in the olden days if you wanted to learn about man and woman? It was called the birds and the bees, wasn't it? Well, this book is a powerful way to reinforce the godly design of male and female. And isn't it amazing that we would have to teach that again to a new generation? This does it in a super stealthy way, in a really fun way, in a profound way, to get kids thinking about why is it important to have a male and a female to create life? Why is it important that they're complementarian? Why does that form the structure it forms? Why is that so beautiful? Super powerful. Okay, so you might know a kid that you can give one to, or you might just be a big kid and you need to read this book and have fun. And then these are CDs. This has been my journey through the Jewish enjoyment of Jesus. So there's a CD. It's all done with jazz musicians. This is called the Siddur Project. The Siddur is the Jewish prayer book. And it's the most beautiful language. Do you guys long for exalting worship language? You might enjoy spontaneous, flowing, simple songs about love and devotion, but you might really need a dose of some exalting, beautiful language in worship. And the Siddur, the Jewish prayer book, provides that. All kosher, all out of the scriptures. Beautiful prayer about Yeshua in here, done with some of the best jazz musicians on the East Coast are part of this project, with explanations of every part. It's integrated with paintings I did. And this is a cantata, a jazz cantata that I took the entire cycle of Jewish prayer called the Amidah, which means standing, and set it as a story with music. And there are parts of it you'll just go, wow, it's kind of like I've been to a concert. And parts of this you'll go, wow, I feel like I've been to the throne. You really will, because there's so much on this, it's way bigger than me. And again, explanations, paintings to go with it. And because of the idea of standing, this CD is called Rising. And the painting that the Lord gave me was of a planet and a Jewish prayer shawl draped over it. And the answers to the prayers just being sprinkled all over the earth. So it's really kind of cool. So those are out front. Now, Ami is going to come up. She's got a five-minute little thing she wants to share. And I want you to think about what she does is imagine that when I was asking you, did anyone teach you how to overcome fear as a skill? And we all went, no. Did anyone teach you how to risk as a skill? No. Did anyone give you a course in confrontation growing up? Did anyone give you a course in crisis management? Some of us did in our families, and it wasn't great. Oh, yeah, I got the course in crisis management from my family. How was it? Very dramatic, you know what I'm saying, right? So imagine if you had been in an environment where some of the things we're talking about was part of a culture of learning, and that you were being brought into supernatural life skill living as like you were brought into arithmetic and you were brought into history and you were brought into these things, right? And that's the way it should be, and it's not too late, because that's the culture of heaven. It's a family. It's Papa's family. And there's not too late for you to be brought into the culture of learning and nurturing and developing the skills you need to finish the race well, no matter how you started. So because Ami came to us at a time when I had, and Mark had experienced a lot of emotional healing and a lot of wholeness and a lot of everything from counseling to, you know, crying on the carpet at night to God to get well. And she stepped into a culture of learning. And so what I like to hear from her is imagine yourself having the benefit of a culture of learning and life skill development in wholeness, and how you might approach your things that make you afraid if you were coached in this way. And so instead of going, well, that's nice that she's like that or they're like that, I want you to realize that this is the work of the Holy Spirit pictured for you, and how he wants to do this for you in your situation. And he will, if you'll work with him, partner with him. Okay? Come on up, Ami. Tell us what you're learning about fear and risk and...
Is it working? Can you hear
all
me?
That stuff.
Aha. I feel so powerful with
this
mic
is Ami.
Hello, everyone. How are we doing today? Are we good? Yeah, we have a good-looking crowd today. Goodness. So my name is Ami Ledoux. I'm 17 years old. I'm an actor, singer, dancer. I'm basically a musical theater...
Nerd.
Yeah, you could say that. Musical theater soundtracks all day long, every day. So part of my job as an actress and a singer is that I have to audition all the time. And it's always been, you know, think about it. You go in, the experience of an audition is you go in and someone's judging you based on your talent, based on what you're doing, based on if you're up there going, ah, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, or if you're like excited and open and out there. Do you have energy on stage? Do you even have any talent? Do you have what it takes? And so it's nerve-wracking as an actress to go into a situation where you're being judged by someone, and you're going in there and you're like, crap, if I can use that word here, what's going to happen? And so it's nerve-wracking. And so for a long time, not a long time, but for a good period of time, I would go in and I'd be really nervous, but I'd be like, I know this is where I'm called to be. I'm called to be on the stage. I'm called to be an actress. I'm called to be on Broadway. That's my calling. That's where I'm going. And it's going to take hard work and all that, but it's going to happen. And so my mom told me, this, think of it as your job. Go in there and just do it. And living, my family has always been very artistic, very, very filled with music, very all these things. And so we've always grown up with that. But going into audition, like I said, it's really nerve-wracking sometimes. But when you view it as your job, it's totally different. I go in there, I know I'm talented, I know who I am in God, so I'm going and I'm going to do it. And that's kind of what she's getting at, is you need to know who you are in God, because it's your job to risk. It's your job to go out there and to be like, whammo, here I am, world, and here's Yeshua, here's God. And he loves you and he cares about you. So I channel, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll channel the nervousness, thinking practically about this, I'll channel the nervousness that I feel into energy for the stage. Because when you walk out there on the stage, someone is expecting you to do something. You're not just going to be like, what's my line, crap. No, you're going to go out there, you're going to have fun, you're going to enjoy. So I guess that the main principle that you take away from this is that a practical application is to take the nerves that you feel and to just be like, screw them. I'm just going to go do what I'm called to do, what my purpose is. And every time I step on to perform, I'm nervous. Every time I ask someone if I can pray for them, I'm nervous. Because I don't know, is God going to heal that person on the street? I'm believing he will, but if he doesn't, that's on him. It's not on me. If I fail an audition, does that make me a failure? No, that just makes me someone who's learning from my mistakes and moving forward. So the idea is that fear is really your best friend because it pushes you to be better. It pushes you to do what you can do and to be better as a performer or as someone who works at their job and is scared of their boss or all of these things. And you have a huge calling and a huge purpose on your life. And I want to encourage you with that because even though you feel fear, it doesn't mean that you are afraid. Think about it. Just because you feel something doesn't mean you're going to go do something. So every time I step out and I perform, it's nerve-wracking because people are going, oh my gosh, is she good? Is she bad? Is she? And sometimes that can get your headspace. Don't let that get in your headspace. Don't let what other people get in your headspace. Don't let Satan get in your headspace. Let God be in your headspace. Because go out there and just have fun and do your calling and just do it. And don't let fear rule because it's not worth it. It's a waste of energy. So every time, to wrap this up, every time I go out on stage and I feel that anxiety and I feel that fear and I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I just take a second and I remember, this is what I was born to do. I was born to do this. I'm going to do this. And I'm not going to let fear stop me because I know that a God up there loves me in here. And I'm born to change the world. And so are you.
Yay.
You make it sound so easy, Emmy. Now we're going to break that down. Do you see how when you're loved and, you know, look where I was at her age, just absolutely terrified because it got to the point where I couldn't play for one person in a room without just serious, you know, anxiety and panicky type stuff going on. And but you can see what it looks like when you are being consciously and intentionally developed in your abilities. And you're going to learn to do that for yourself because that is your stewardship responsibility. And you're going to learn to observe the ways God is going to step alongside you and bring that to you and parent you in ways that perhaps you weren't, right? So do you see in her example how she doesn't have as much baggage she's carrying around as she's working through this? But I had tons. So to get to where she was, I would have frankly been really mad. Like, well, that's so easy for you to say, right? But that's just, let that be an example to you of the process. That's what healthy nurturing looks like. That's a young girl who's been nurtured in risk skills and love skills and healing skills and confrontation skills very intentionally. That didn't come because she's just talented or fun or nice or that's her personality. That was intentionally put in here by Mark and me, by the Lord, by the experiences she's had. This is what you are going to learn to do for yourself now. And you need to be as kind to yourself as I would be to her, or you would be to her if you see it, if you think of her as your own daughter, right? And you go, all right. And that's what we're going to learn to do now, okay? All right. So thank you, Father, for a lot of cool catalyzation this morning and positioning and for what you're going to do right now in us. We just welcome your Holy Spirit. We can't do anything apart from you. The best things happen when you are made manifest and your nature is known, and so we invite you to do that in Yeshua's name. So, am I loud enough now? Am I getting there? Okay. And again, I believe they're going to have a recording of this somewhere. And with what I'm telling you, let me tell you something. When I determine to get over something or learn something, I will find great content and listen to it again and again and again until I can teach it, until I can articulate it. So you might go, wow, what a great session. And they go, what did she say? And you're like, I don't know. I have no idea what she said. All I want is a hamburger, you know. It went in there. I know you have notes. I know the Holy Spirit's working. But if you're, I really want to encourage you, anything you want to conquer, you want to go in and you want to learn it and learn it again and relearn it again and hear it again and again. When I started to overcome stage fright, I bought every book I could think on it. I researched it. I started to learn about what happens in the brain, started to listen to people who were dealing with it. At one point, I called a coach who walked me in off the plank and helped me understand what was going, and her specialty was this. And then I began to respond to the Holy Spirit. I remember the day that I was sitting in our living room, and I heard the Lord say, "Julie, it's your time." And a cold chill went through my body. Fight or flight, getting ready to fight, flee or freeze. I knew exactly what he meant. I knew he meant get out of your core competency hiding as a mother and a homeschooler and a this and a that, and get over here and deal with this. And I knew what it meant, and I was terrified. And I said to him, "Okay." Because I was living in the, "I know I'm incredible. It's just not time yet for the world to know." That was where I was. I was like, "I know, I'm just incredible. I know it. I mean, God, when I was little, I saw the whole thing. It was just great. But we just know that it's just not time for that right now." What? That's, you know, can you see that? Spiritualizing it, avoiding it. So the Lord said this to me, and I said, I sat on the couch, took a deep breath, and I said, "Okay, all right, I know you're good. We've been through some things. This isn't my first rodeo. Okay." So I said, "I'll walk through every door you open for me one at a time. Just don't leave me alone." Like he would, but I needed to say it. And it is, "You're not going anywhere, are you? Like, if you're with me, I'll do this thing." And so then began the process, and I learned, and I said, "Well, what? How have I learned before?" See, this is grown-up stuff. How have I learned before? You're praying for a healing. You want physical healing. You want emotional healing. You want this. You want that. Great. Awesome. God's going to touch you powerfully this weekend. And you're also going to learn what your resources are. You're going to have self-fresh assessment of where you're being a weenie and hiding in the corner. You're going to think about how you learned in the past, what works for you, what situations you can be open to, what resources you have. How God speaks to you. You're multidimensional. Look for the pieces now to begin to shape your growth so that you can steward the encounter with God that you're going to get in total life change on every level of your being, right? So in the we learned this about the brain. Let's go back to the brain. In the face of real or imagined, conscious or unconscious awareness of danger, your earth suit will always be working to keep you safe, to protect you. And to that end, it will do everything it possibly can to help. And this danger response is, again, captained by a vastly complex and brilliant supercomputer inside your head with an almost infinite network of neurons that communicate with your body. You, my friend, are a brainiac. Yes, you. Because your brain is an absolutely dazzling piece of living technology. And get this, your brain is ready and willing to serve you in ways you probably won't even be able to grasp right now. It's so loving. God gave you a body and a brain that is willing to support your choices. He gave you free will. He gave you the ability to choose your outcome in so many ways, or your response. And then he gave you an entire system, an integrated system of spirit, soul, and body to help you do what you choose to do. He's even willing for you to choose to become a psycho killer. All of that evil, you know. Run through this incredibly vast, complex network of who you are. Seriously, think about it. Isn't evil some of the most genius something ever? Sometimes can't you see how evil can be just like genius? And you're like, wow, that's creepy. Well, imagine. He created an entire system for you to live and relate out of that is designed to help you do what you choose to do. Even if it's at the risk of ever choosing to know Him. That's incredible. That's risky. We have a God who is not risk averse. And you know that your brain is not hardwired for fear, anxiety, depression, despair, or unhealthy ways of relating to the world. You're not hardwired for failure. And you're really not hardwired to repeat over and over and over the bad traumas. That's not hardwiring. Remember we talked about the brain is hardwiring, the mind is software? Your software right now might be wired for some really wonky stuff. I can pretty much count on it. But your brain is not hardwired for that, okay? Your brain is hardwired for some really important things, for survival, for energy conservation, for regulating bodily functions, and for pleasure. That's crazy. It's a really interesting gift mix your brain is wired for. Survival, energy conservation, regulating bodily functions, and pleasure. But your brain is not hardwired with information, not hardwired with information about your worth, your value, your possibilities, whether you're safe or in danger, whether you're competent or incompetent, whether you can trust those around you or you can't. These are all learned. And the learning starts when you're in your mother's womb. And maybe even before. And I'll explain that in a minute. Everything you were ever taught or experienced has been recorded in your brain, and a set of beliefs were formed in you. Or set was. A set was. Good grammar. Your brain is the hardware, but your mind is what you believe, and what you believe is like your software. And your software controls everything in your life's operating system. If it is negative and fear-filled, this will affect every part of your life to one degree or another. You get that? If your software is negative and fear-filled, it's running the show. So you're not destined to be defined by your negative neural programming for the rest of your life. You might have some really intense programs in there, and especially if you're a complex trauma victim, or there's just been sort of a whacking away at a theme in your life over and over and over. The programming can be really intense. I'm not going to lie to you. It can go pretty deep. According to Harvard-trained psychologist Dr. Srini Pillay and human behavioral researcher Shad Helmstetter, our brains are not hardwired for set responses and unchangeable traits. They're plastic. The word neuroplasticity is a combination of two words, neuron and plasticity. Neurons are the nerve cells in your brain, and plasticity refers to something that is capable of being molded or reorganized. This means that our neural pathways can be changed, upgraded, and rewired. And here's the great news. So you can be free of the bullying, terrifying thoughts that are part of your current neural programming. You wouldn't leave old, slow, archaic software operating systems on your computer, would you? You're always upgrading, and they're always telling you to upgrade. It really is annoying. Right? Upgrades are available for, don't you want to do that, Joe? Don't you want? I'm like, no, 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 no. Finally, you get to the point where you're willing to stop and install the new system, right? But they never let you stop. They just constantly want. Imagine, you guys, if we listen to the Holy Spirit like that. Oh, really? You really want to live with that programming? Really, really, really? There's an upgrade for that. Install the new version, you know? And I believe the Holy Spirit is doing that. And you're going to get way more sensitive to that, okay? You can upgrade your mind and your thoughts and your neurons just like you can your computer. It's a brilliant design, isn't it? Isn't that brilliant? Whoever thought that was reptilian, sorry. That's old thinking. It's neuroplasticity that allowed, this cracked me, this blew my mind. Neuroplasticity allows stroke victims to rewire functions that were once held in damaged areas of the brain over to new healthy parts of the brain that aren't even supposed to do that. They can't figure out how. Like they have a part of the arm that doesn't work and that part of the brain is dead. And somehow the brain rewires to allow some form of movement or compensation. And it's coming from a part of the brain that's not even supposed to be allowed to do that. Or shouldn't be expected to. That's crazy. That has implications. That means that if you have part of you that's dead and worn out and old stuff, there might be part of your brain somewhere ready to do a whole new thing with you. And you're thinking something totally unexpected. It's in the design. You actually were designed to overcome. Do you realize that? You're physically designed to overcome. You're physically designed and predisposed to healing. You're physically designed and predisposed for empowerment. You're physically designed to learn something new. That's how you were designed. Your brain was created with the capacity to help heal and restore you and your body by replacing old, damaged, negative programming with new programming. In fact, your brain is rewiring itself right now. Right now. The question is, what set of beliefs is your brain reinforcing right now? Here's how neuroplasticity works. When you encounter a person, place, thing, or other type of stimulus, your brain will automatically pull up every single bit of information it ever learned about that thing, that idea, that experience, that person. And it chooses a set of responses that matches what is in the programming, which sets off a series of physiological reactions in the rest of your body. And if no new information is given to the brain, it simply reinforces what it already knows, because remember, it's hardwired for conservation of energy. We have got that. She's going to die. She's going to die. We got this. Let's just go with the old programming. She's going to die. She could die at any minute. Your brain will pick that, because that's what's there. It's a simple conservation of energy. If, on the other hand, you interrupt the unconscious feedback loop often enough with compelling new information, your brain will actually begin to rewire itself to replace its old programs and conclusions with new ones. It must be interrupted. Whoa, not so fast there. I'm not sure that's how we're going to play it out this time. Over time, this reprogramming of your brain will change the message it sends to the rest of your body. That's why some therapies of desensitization work. Or somebody's really freaked out by a certain thing. They'll have you get close to it and get close to it a little more. And you know what I mean? Try it out sort of to desensitize maybe a panic or something. It's a neural rewiring that's going on. And again, that's beautiful. And that is addressing the mind and the reprogramming of the mind. But we got the multidimensional approach. We got all kinds of things in our belt we're going to use. And one of them is really powerful, the neural thing. Because your brain has a built-in renewal and recovery system. And so it's waiting for you to either just let it do what it's always done or interrupt it with new information. Because basically, in every situation you're in, you've been outvoted. It outvotes you. Your brain outvotes you. If you suffer from debilitating anxiety, fear, or panic, that has everything to do with what your brain has learned throughout your life about what scares you. That is why there's great benefit to be derived by listening to your body and uncovering the root experiences and traumas and wounds and physical injuries that taught you your most powerful and earliest lessons about what you're afraid of. If you learned and you were shamed or lied to or rejected or messed up or disapproved of, your brain opens a file. It's called danger. And all the related memories, thoughts, attitudes, feelings, and most especially what you choose to believe about those things get stored right in there. And what's interesting, and this is what I was telling you before, there's increasing evidence that memories of danger alter our DNA and are passed down to following generations. And so think about it. If you've had generational trauma, slavery or wounding or whatever, and I think even within the Jewish people, PTSD, hey, come on. I think there's a deep connection there, and that's why a generational prayer becomes important, to release us from things like that. The bottom line is those things can change DNA, which pass on, right? So you might have even inherited certain things that you need to ask God to cleanse you from. We even know that babies pick up on the feelings of the mother. Mom's fear, anxiety, panic, or anger, or ambivalence literally affect the developing fetus and the brain wiring, what's going on in the spirit, as well as the soul and the body. There was one famous test that showed via ultrasound how a baby in the womb would shrink back when mom had a cigarette, and then would shrink back if mom even thought about having a cigarette. What was happening to mom that she needed that cigarette? How much anxiety was she dealing with when she was having that cigarette? And that same response was affecting her child. So when you face something or someone that reminds you of the experiences that have most powerfully shaped your brain's programming, your brain automatically says, I've got this. I'll take it from here. And from the neural command center of your body, the rest of your earth suit receives its orders to support you based on what it has learned and determined you will need. That's all happening at an unconscious level. And whenever your brain perceives a threat, your sympathetic nervous system kicks off its danger sequence. And in a sense, before you can even make a conscious choice to respond, you've been outvoted. That's why you walk in and say, you're like, whoa, I don't even know why I felt that. Whoa. Example of the me. She walks in. She's aware of a certain level of risk and threat. Her body makes a decision. Nerves are important. And she has to override that with truth. Right? Okay? My friend, despite any tough or stoic exterior or affect you might project, you are quite a sensitive creature. Have you ever censored your speech because you knew a child was present and you didn't want to jade such an impressionable being? Well, guess what? There's always a vulnerable and impressionable being present, and that person is you. So be careful what you say and what you dwell on, because your brain is paying attention. Now, I think that's powerful because we've all heard through the years, you know, power of positive thinking, and, you know, we'll walk on the sunny side of the street, think happy thoughts. And we always know that people who do that tend to have a pleasant outcome, right? But you kind of always just thought it was just a little bit of Pollyanna thinking, you know, just a little bit of rainbows and unicorns, right? It's just, well, that's easy for you. You don't have what's going on in me, right? But we now know that's not just a fairy tale happy-go-lucky response. That's actually neuroscience telling you what happens, what you do with your thoughts and words and attitudes, beliefs. Your highly sensitive and impressionable brain is eavesdropping on every conversation you have with yourself or others. It's taking notes. Your words are the primary influence in the programming of your brain. This is not just positive name it and claim it theology, which, by the way, now you can understand how brilliant that is, to confess the word of God out of your mouth. Brilliant. You think the creator who designed you knew that? Yeah. Do you ever say things like, I'm going to die. This is going to kill me. I'm an idiot. I can't do that. I'm such a failure. I hate doing this. This is killing me. I'm freaking out. I'm so afraid. I'm terrified. This is so hard for me. I'll never be able to change. Here we go again. I'm hopeless. There's no way out. I'm worthless. I'm such an idiot. What a dope. Friend, these are powerful, invasive, and abusive statements. This is abusive language. You may know this because others have said things like this about you, and such statements have left scalding scars on the landscape of your life. And we'll talk about healing from those things. Rabbi Nathan's going to lead us in some healing of memories and stuff. But you just might be the most abusive person in your own life. And you learned that, by the way, you learned how to do that. So researchers in neuroplasticity have discovered that the single most powerful factor in rewiring your brain is your self-talk. And your brain is subjected to your self-talk 24/7. So you can even get away from that abusiveness in your own thinking. And 3,000 years ago, King Solomon, of biblical fame, knew this when he said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." See, if you don't challenge this negative thought pattern, abusive talk, with positive, helpful, intentional thoughts, you're just rewiring your brain. In modern language, what Solomon is telling us, that the subconscious thoughts of a person will determine who or she, he or she will become. In the language of brain science, Solomon is saying, you will never achieve more than your ongoing internal self-talk tells you. You could have a powerful encounter with God and talk yourself right out of it. Well, that was just once. Well, I suppose. Will I think this? Will I think that? I'm not sure. Maybe it won't happen. Oh, I don't know. Well, I think he loves me, but I feel like crud today. You can talk yourself out of miracles. They carve thoughts and words carve grooves into our subconscious brain function, and these are a major determining factor in the degree to which we will live in anxiety, fear, and panic. Your body's designed to protect you, and it responds to what it has learned. So the big question is, how do we change our neural programming? And this is what we call healing in the second dimension, minding your gray matter. And remember what I said, your mind is not your brain. Your mind is the part of you that makes choices and analyzes and takes in and is able to look at all the stimulus. Like when you're freaking out, starting to panic about something, you can go, wow, that's interesting information. What is my body trying to tell me about what I believe and what I've learned? You feel this really bad feeling. Somebody walks into the room and you're having a reaction. You can pull up and you can go, wow, what is my soul trying to tell me about what I've learned and what I believe? Right? You can start taking this information in, and then you use your mind to analyze, to consider, to seek, to process as you ask for information from God. What do you think? What are you saying? What's your version of my life? What story do you want to tell me? Because fear always tells you a story. Always. Always. Fear has told you a story about yourself, and it is a lie. There's never a story fear can tell you that is based in the truth. There are others to say, like if you are in a situation and you're like, I shouldn't go down that dark alley in the middle of the night. Okay, I get that. Reasonable, rational fear. Okay, and there's where your survival wiring comes in. Or there are situations, danger, 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 when you're, you know, there are sick and unhealthy situations. But what I'm saying is the narrative, right? When fear tells you a story, it's not, God, the kids are 15 minutes late. It's like 11:30. I guess they stopped for gas. No, fear goes, ditch, road, children dragged across the meridian. Blood, guts, gore. You know, right? Totally. Fear always tells you. It's always catastrophic. Have you noticed that? When you really hear the story and you go, wait a minute. It's pretty catastrophic. It's not like, a little risk here and there. No, it's like, you'll die. It's your mind that says, wait a minute, let's assess. Really? Let's put these pieces together. And we control our brains primarily by what we choose to say, to listen to, and ultimately what we choose to believe. We've learned powerful, dramatic lessons in life that have shaped us. But no matter what has happened to us, no matter what kinds of negative things we've learned or relearned over and over, we always have the power to choose the meaning that we attach to those events. And as you go through some inner healing and some memory healing, you'll see that Jesus' meaning is so beautiful and so incredible. You always have the power to decide it. So therefore, even in the most extreme of circumstances, you are not a victim. Viktor Frankl, Holocaust survivor, wrote that the last of human freedoms is the ability to choose one's attitude in a given set of circumstances. This statement was made by a man who was imprisoned by the Nazis and lived in the horror of one of their death camps where he was forced into slave labor. Yet in the wake of his imprisonment and torturous circumstances, Viktor Frankl did not live his life as a victim. He chose to exercise the one freedom that could never be taken away from him, the ability to choose his attitudes and his responses to his circumstances. And you have the same freedom. You have the same power. You may feel like a slave in the prison camp of your own pain and fear, but you have a choice about what to do about that. No matter how much abuse or trauma any of us has been marred by, our souls have been lovingly and meticulously designed with the power to choose how we will think, what we say, what we believe, and how we respond. Your mind and your free will, informed by insights from your emotional responses and your personal perspective and what's going on with your body, and your free will, these equip you to overcome your present panic and the pain that fuels it. So get this, this is really, if you're presently dominated by fear, it's not because you're destined to be a victim. It's because you have not yet fully utilized the gifts you've been given to help you overcome it. You have not yet recognized that your whole being is a healing machine, is an overcoming machine. And the big wow of it all is you have a spirit that is God-conscious, designed to receive revelation about how all the pieces should come together. You are a powerful, overcoming, healing being. Powerful, overcoming, healing being. That's all in the equipment you've been given. No matter what your history, the world-conscious, self-conscious dimensions of your being, your body and soul are offering you an opportunity, along with the information you're going to get, revelation through your spirit, to get well, to get healed, to marshal all those resources toward a great purpose, a destiny. Let me tell you, if you've been, we say at our house, rode hard and put away wet in life, there are people watching to see if you'll ever get over it. You know how many times I wished my mom would have gotten well? What that would have said to me as a young woman, that she loved herself enough to become total, to become a whole, fully alive person. Do you know how much hope that would have given me? Do you know how much courage and strength that would have imbued to me? Do you not realize how many people are just hoping you're going to get over yourself? Seriously, there are people around you whose lives you affect, who, whether you know it or not, would really like you to get well. Whether they work with you or whether they're your kids. Because your kids are looking for an excuse to believe in transformation. And you're maybe a reason why they don't. That's really hard to say. I had to face that in my life earlier on in my parenting, that I was a main reason why one of my kids was struggling with believing in transformation and believing in the gospel I preached. And we're so fixed on getting them information and telling the people around us all the right answers, aren't we? But what if we got well, you guys? What if we got over ourselves? We walk back to our kids and say, hey, yeah, you know, I was really kind of a wreck, wasn't I? Why? How neurotic is that? You know, let's get free, you know? Seriously, do you not see the power in that? Of you getting well? It's so awesome. You got all those resources. Now, we're going to be going into these ways in which you can, you know, receive healing emotionally. Because there are those points where Jesus, Yeshua, can just set you free of some things stored in your unconscious and in your mind that have been tormenting you. But you're going to have to shepherd that in your daily life. And just like your body needs exercise and nourishment to be healthy and strong, your brain needs exercise and good nourishment to be healthy and strong. Your brain needs to develop its neural muscles of hope, resilience, confidence, security. And that requires that you beef up your brain programming to kick out the bullies of fear and anxiety. Yeshua said, the kingdom of God is taken by force, and the violent lay hold of it. Violently deposing the bullies of your current abusive thoughts. You can change and I can change. We don't have to let fear and anxiety programs run the show in our life. We can literally train our brains to kick them out. You can actually create, and I've noticed this, I'm watching how my responses to conflict through the years have changed and discomfort. That literally much quicker up in the series of responses is, it'll be okay. A number of years it was like, what? I'm not going to have enough. There's not going to be enough. I'm not going to be enough. And then I'm going to, and then I'd walk myself in off the plank. And now I realize that I wake up consistently every day, kind of like, wow, think of the upside. That was not me. When something changes and shifts in my schedule, I can now go, I just wonder how God's going to work that out. And that was not me. It was bankruptcy, and I'm never going to have enough, and oh my gosh, you know? That is called the renewing of your mind. That's why Paul talks about it. It's all over the Bible. Jeez, when you get this stuff, you're going to go like, I didn't know Paul studied brain science. It's all over the Word. It's all over the Scriptures. Renew your mind. That's where this is the captain. The brain is the captain. It's just doing what you tell it. So we need to do a little neural reprogramming right now. Okay? That's what your sheet is in front of you. In my 14-plus week program, where I take a group of about 8 people at a time through very intense teaching and training and then stuff, very early on, I give them a series of MP3 things that they listen to. And this is one of them. And so why don't you put the music on? Are you guys comfortable with the sound of your own voices? How about if we do this together? How about if we just all read this out loud together? And I'll see, it takes about 12 minutes, I don't know. Let's see how far we get. Okay, you ready? This is what you can create one of these of your own on your phone. In fact, when we're done, I want you to write at least 5 declarations of new brain retraining. Okay? Let's try this together. I was created for great things. I was made for a great purpose. I am learning to be an overcomer. There are seeds of greatness planted in me. Come on, believe it. I am part of a big, wonderful story. I overcome what has scared me. I defeat what has intimidated me. I am learning to overcome. I am well able to defeat the bullies of fear and anxiety. I choose which thoughts take up residence in my life. I dismiss bullying thoughts. I make room for thoughts that build me up. I overcome fear and anxiety. I learn to be safe. I am adaptable. I learn new positive ways to think. I do whatever I need to do in order to beat fear and anxiety. My brain is ready for new information. Light is more powerful than darkness. Love is more powerful than fear. I am building up my inner champion with new ways of thinking. I was designed to walk in victory and peace. I have authority over my thoughts. I kick out bullies when they speak to me. I choose to listen to what empowers me. I cast down thoughts that tear me down. I replace thoughts that threaten me. I give no place to thought bullies in the playground of my mind. I guard my thoughts. I shepherd my soul. I endorse thoughts that are uplifting. I agree with the truth about me. The truth about me is that I was created for something great, and I'm going to do it. I am undaunted by thoughts that undermine. I grow stronger every day. My brain listens to and records everything I say, and I always tell it I am an overcomer. I am training my brain for confidence and success. I only feed my brain with thoughts that uplift and encourage me. I only say things about myself and others that bring life. I overcome things that I used to run from. I look forward to new challenges. I face fear, and it's scared of me. I have powerful resources that are empowering me to move forward in life. Now, we're going to finish because this is pretty powerful. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? You can literally, and this is all based on scripture. I wrote my program so that people who don't yet know the Lord can engage with it. But this is all based on the Word of God. I'm not just making up Tony Robbins' latest hit parade, okay? But you can feel it. And I'm telling you, when you wake up and you slide into depression or you feel something coming on you, if you will create or use your neural reprogramming and you will speak this out loud, you will feel your body change. You can feel the shift in your brain, and it will affect even your soul. And if you feel resistance, like, yeah, right, that's only because it's easier for your brain to think the old stuff. Don't be surprised. If you're reading this and you go, yeah, right, yeah, right, yeah, right, it just tells you how deep your neural programming has gone. It's just identified a memory God wants to heal. It's just outed a belief you need to challenge. Do you see that? The resistance is actually telling you more things that you can learn. Let's continue. I'm defined by my purpose and not my past. I walk in increasing freedom from fear and anxiety. Every day I take new ground, try new things, and become more confident. It's okay to make mistakes. There is no limit to the amount of freedom I can walk in as I move into my true purpose. That was then, and this is now. I am growing in confidence. I'm learning to love risk. I love doing things that stretch me.
I learned to feel afraid, and now I learn to feel secure. I am loved. I am lovable. I am priceless. I daily challenge the story fear has told me. I daily uproot anxious thoughts and replace them with encouraging ones. My mind is renewed. Which one did I, where are we? Oh, good, good, go for it. Keep going. My mouth is constantly speaking words of confidence and strength to others and myself. My earth suit is always protecting me. My brain is ready to learn new ways of thinking that are positive and empowering. I am rewiring my brain with stable, peaceful thoughts. I am able to do what I need to do to overcome. Did you ever figure out, did you notice how many different ways it is to say the same great stuff over and over? And how important it is to say the same stuff all over again? Should we finish it up? All right, let's. Yeah, you got it, girlfriend. Wait, I got a better idea. Starting with you, we're each going to say one out loud till we run out. Go ahead. Okay, Connie. You can turn the music down, Ralph, so we can hear. Okay, you back there? All right, and the more we talk, let's really hear it now. Raina. Okay, yes. And my friend with the crutches, keep going. I learned to handle. And you realize performance can be just showing up to deal with a conflict, right? Go ahead. How about you right here? Yes. Pick one. I don't even care which one it is. Read one that looks good to you. That's a great one. Okay, go ahead. Just carry on. Okay. Okay. Yes, right over here. And you know you can modify that for any stressful situation, right? Go ahead. Okay, over here, I'm growing in confidence. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Imperfection. Okay. Wow. Okay, Nathan. Oh, wait. Yes. Yeah. True, huh? To accommodate. Okay, Deborah. Ralph. And the last two, let's say them together. I'm getting stronger each day. There is no stopping me now. Woo! Over and over and over and over and over and over. How many times did you have to get beat to the ground into the dust to learn to be so scared and afraid and intimidated and, right? But you know what I've noticed? And this is how brilliant the design is. I've noticed when you connect to supernatural revelation from God about your circumstance and you live in relationship with Him and you avail yourself of the healing tools, I promise you it will not take you as long to get well as it took you to get sick. It's a kingdom thing. There'll be older programs. The longer you've believed something, the deeper the groove. But also the bigger the upside for you, right? And I've really seen, you're like, oh my gosh, well, it's been 55 years getting really neurotic. How many times are we going to have to read this list before I can see light at the end of the tunnel? I just want to tell you, there's a kingdom perspective that when you are aligned with truth from heaven, you have the resources of heaven. But you're going to need to make that choice to overcome every day. And here's something super cool I learned. It will get easier. Your body is actually designed for things to get easier for you over time. This is why when you go to work out and you weightlift and you think, I can't even do this, right? I can't do this. You go back the next day and you can already feel within a 24-hour period, there's a micro difference in your strength level. And before you know it, you have to actually increase the weight or it's not even fun anymore. It's not even a problem anymore. You first learn a new skill, you flop all over. The next thing you know, it becomes automatic to your system, like when you first ride a bike or anything like that. This is another incredible design feature of what you've been given, that you are hardwired for overcoming, that things become easier for you. It literally is going, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to go, it's way easier for me to think confident than to think afraid. That's easier. You're designed for that. That's one of your design features. Isn't that cool? Now, if you want to take a quick moment to stand up or stretch your legs, just a moment. We're gonna finish up here because I want to try to save some time for Mark to have a comment here. Mom, want me to be okay to walk back? Okay, guys, let's go ahead and sit down. Let's take a seat. We're going to go on and we're going to talk about
Healing of memories. We're going to tee up the ball for what Rabbi Nathan is going to do in depth tonight. Yay. Didn't that feel so good? Oh my gosh. It was like a total workout. You know, so good. This last week I have to say, and I'm not a conference speaker per se, you know, you might not, could change, but there was some intense distress for me this week. And I knew, you know, it didn't get to my core because so much healing, but it was uncomfortable, you know? And just had to stay very truth focused and really go, I really don't feel great. But I was better at not feeling great than I ever have before. Been before. I was better at feeling like crap than ever before. Yeah. It's true. It just didn't get me. It didn't feel good, but it didn't get me. It didn't control. And there was a point to this, but it's probably gone somewhere. And so the larger point is what we do with those kind of things when we encounter them and the meaning that we attach to them and the skills that we develop in order to deal with things when you experience distress or we experience this or that or the other thing. And yes.
Did the declarations that we just read
help you? That was my point. Thank you. I have another set of declarations, Julie's 100 mindsets or whatever. There's actually 250 of them because I got started and I couldn't stop. This is what I want you to just take a moment before we go. I want you to write down 5 truth statements that directly, thank you, that was so helpful, that directly deal with the avoidance that you wrote down earlier. You know that yucky feeling when you're thinking about what you're avoiding and how uncomfortable you felt and that, and you're kind of getting cunning into touch with that and what that might mean for you if you stopped avoiding. I want you to write down 5 true statements in the present tense. I am, I do, I say, I speak, all in these present tense, and all positive. I take on challenges and I'm just fine. I break through avoidance to victory. These kinds of things, whatever. Write 5 of them down. Keep in mind what the Lord has said about you and to you. You want these to begin to become the library of your new creative thinking. Use your phone. Say them into your phone. Listen while you're on the treadmill. Put them on in the car. You could create a whole 15-minute MP3 type thing that just hits your most high stress points right now. When I was in this deep feeling of distress, I pulled out my 250 mindsets that I hadn't worked with for a while. And I just began to say them out loud. And they were scripture-based and different things, and it was also involved declarations that I say over my children. My children have an open heaven over them. Everything they need, God delivers. They heal the sick. They cleanse the lepers. They raise the dead. No pressure. They walk in God's conviction. They are healed and whole. They are free from addiction. They are set forth into the purposes and plans that God has given to them. They're free. They're whole. They're happy. I never back away from a fight. God is on my side. I will not fear. My husband is awesome. I have new, amazing mindsets constantly to affirm him. Do you see this? Do you see where I'm going? Even thinking about it just feels so good. I started to say this stuff. You guys, it was like I just took a big bath. I was like, oh. It literally gave me emotional stability again. Just, whew. And I was still kind of going through one of these and just, okay, we're back. These are tools. There's this listening to God. There's the Bible study part. There's the supernatural encounters. There's the healings. There's the neural programming. There's the exercise. It's all there for you. And so we're going to talk now about the healing of memories, okay? And
healing of memories and new neural programming need to go hand in hand. Because as they all expose what you've believed. And what you believe determines how your brain is wiring and how your body will respond. Okay? So you need these. This needs to be uncovered. The enemy doesn't want you to know what you really believe most of the time. And he doesn't want you to think that it couldn't be true, that it's not true. He's always reinterpreting your circumstances for you. Here's an example. I didn't date very much. I don't know what it was. I never got asked out. It was really weird. Go figure. And I was living single and stupid and living in LA. And I was whining to God. And I was like, oh, nobody loves me. Nobody's taking me out. I don't have anyone in my life. And he said, Julie, Satan will always reinterpret your circumstances for you. What if I've set you apart? What if I don't want you to go through that? What if I have this and this and this? And he said, I want you to act like you're married from now on. Because if I've set you apart for somebody, you're betrothed, you already belong to that person. I want you to act like it. So I bought myself a big diamond. Now I went out. But do you see that? God's version of it was, you are set apart and I'm saving you a whole heck of a lot of heartache. Fear's version was lack, rejection, anxiety, low self-esteem. Do you see it's the same exact set of circumstances? So you have a choice every day which interpretation of your circumstances you're going to pick and what you believe about that. And these are really going to help you. Okay, now the other side of the story is that we learned that your brain learns. And a lot of times you'll go from here and you go, that's okay, I was at the conference and I am going to do this thing and I'm going to deal with my stuff and I'm going to stop avoiding. And but then you find out like you've got these intentions to make positive change and you keep getting in your own way and sabotaging yourself. Say you're going to finally give the speech or make the hard call or confront the circumstance or finally tell that person no or whatever it is you need to do. And you fizzle out. You turn around the car and you go and hide. There's something fueling the chronic negative choices you keep making. And your self-conscious soul, which is made up of your mind, your emotions, and your will, is offering you the opportunity to explore that through the experience of your emotions and your behavioral patterns and your ability to reflect and analyze and question and choose. Now, this is a process that can be enhanced by counseling or therapy to bring the surface, you know, the root causes. Also, I was so anxious I couldn't really do this, but I can now. If you can sit and listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you a lot of information about what's really going on with you, right? There are root causes that you may not be consciously aware of at all. There are wounds and life-threatening or perceived life-threatening events that have permeated your thoughts and helped form your deeply held beliefs that have programmed your body's fear responses. And one of the most amazing things, again, is sometimes if these are super traumatic, you have this design default where memories can be tucked away and submerged so you don't even remember them, you know, that whole thing. And that's where sometimes people even have dissociative disorder and they kind of literally create, they fragment off. I mean, think of the genius of that. Your body is always working to make sure you can survive. You can do the thing that must be done that next day. So it's amazing how much gets tucked deep into your unconscious mind. And we know the conscious mind, right? We're aware of what we think, we say, we do this. Then there's the subconscious and the unconscious minds. And there's a lot of kind of discussion about what the subconscious is and what the unconscious is and what they do. For the purposes here, I'm just going to call it the unconscious mind. The things that we're not really all that aware of. And there's a great amount of agreement, though, among researchers and clinicians that the unconscious mind is the place where your most painful and scary and anxiety-producing memories are stored. And it's important to know about these regions of the brain because these non-conscious memories reinforce a powerful set of beliefs you have about yourself and the world. And again, these are beliefs, thoughts, and attitudes that you don't even consciously know you're holding on to. So today you became more consciously aware of what you're avoiding. The assessment on avoidance is really a major life skill thing. You need to keep that forefront. Procrastination is another form of avoidance, right? Right? So why don't I want to clean? Why don't I want to do the closet? Why don't I want to make the call? And you feel the anxiety rise up. You avoid it. You feel better for a minute. And then it just circles back, right? So knowing your avoidance procrastination cycle is super important for self-assessment. And today we brought that up. And then we begin to expose some of the beliefs behind the avoidance, what's going on. So now you're kind of more consciously aware of those things. And that's what you're writing your statements, your truth statements, your mind transformation statements, based on a lot of stuff of which you are consciously aware. Ooh, I really need to deal with that, right? Ooh, I see that. And you're going to do that, right? You're going to keep doing that. Even when you don't want to, especially when you don't want to, because when you don't want to, you know what that is? That's your old programming going, that's a little bit of a lot of effort there. Let's just go the easy way out. Just override it. In fact, Chris John told me the most fascinating thing. He was listening to some nerdy show about how when you say, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to exercise. And how when you say, I'm getting up in the morning and I exercise, if you don't immediately get out of bed when the alarm goes off, your brain will literally give you a list of reasons not to. Like that. Bam. Literally. And they said this, they determined this. It'll go, you can do it tomorrow. Aren't you tired? You can do it later, blah, blah, blah. And the key, they said, was to do it quick and fast before your brain started to gang up on you. Do it before it gangs up on you, because now you're going to be dealing with, right? Okay. Well, why is that? Because it's conserving energy. It's wired to take the quick, easiest way out. And you've decided to tell it, it's going to learn a whole new bunch of stuff. We're getting out of bed now. But once you understand that, instead of going into beating yourself up and going, I'm such a loser, right? I just guess I never follow through. Well, stuck with me. You know, don't you see, and don't you feel that sometimes? And you get up, we're going to do this. We're going to conquer the world. It's going to be so good. And then you get there, and then you just hesitate. And it comes, yeah, right, sure, come on, conquer tomorrow. You know, and then you assume that's you. That's the all of the you there is. Good, what I tell you, you're not your brain. You're not your body. And in the truest sense, you're more than your mind and more than your emotions, because you're a spirit. So all that is biochemical chatter going on based on what you've learned and reinforced and given place to. It's just doing its job. Don't, let's save the energy we might need to fight off a gorilla in the elevator on the way to work. Serious. That's what's going on. So you can either interpret that as you really are a big fat loser and you really aren't going to change, or you're going to go, I know, I have your number now. This is when I pull out my declarations. This is when, see? Okay. And the fact, actually, that you're getting blowback is actually very useful, because it means you're doing the real thing. The blowback is saying, this is it. Pay dirt. It's right here. This is where the work is coming, right? Okay, so that's happening. But you also have on the unconscious level, these are things you're aware of on the unconscious level. You have all these things going on, and they're the ones that outvote you in circumstances and get all these responses happening. Whatever, no matter what you consciously believe or say you believe or try to believe, sometimes there are instances where you struggle more because of the powerful non-conscious buried beliefs and memories that often run the show in your most powerful emotional responses, unless they are challenged and healed. And we're going to talk about challenging our non-conscious belief systems through healing the memories that fuel them. These are the memories that feed the blobbish bullies of fear and anxiety that have taken up so much space in your life.
And the unconscious is the region of your mind from which they launch their insidious, sabotaging talk inside your head. This is what neuroscience is revealing today. But remember, King Solomon knew this 3,000 years ago when he wrote, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Again, in modern language, he teaches us that the unconscious thoughts a person thinks will determine who he or she will become. The thoughts you think consciously and non-consciously become words you say, and they're mega powerful. And memories stored as pictures in your brain fuel the thoughts that become your constant daily self-talk. Do you ever hear these thoughts in your head? Of course you do. All the negative thoughts. We went through some of those before. So when you hear abusive self-talk like this, it means that there are memories hidden in your non-conscious mind that are flooding your neural pathways with negative biochemical chatter as they set off your fight or flight responses. And your brain is designed to conserve energy. It's constantly rewiring itself to reinforce what it already knows. And it's ready to cooperate with these old thoughts. And oftentimes, unless you stop it, it outvotes you and just wires it again. See, I told you. No point in changing. So imagine if you get some really good ones in there. Think of it that way. Think of when you have a stronghold of goodness and truth, how your brain is going to work to defend that. Okay. So again, you have all these resources, and if you're dominated currently by negative patterns and anxiety and fear, it's because you are not fully using all the gifts that have been given to you, and you can partner with your body and your soul to get well. And this whole thing about memories is really important, because according to Harvard Medical School, Stanford University School, and Mayo Clinic, and the Centers for Disease Control, and numerous other research centers, stress is the one source for up to 95% of all illnesses and diseases. This includes the diseases of depression, anxiety, and fear-based living. So all these eggheads agree that stress is the cause of 95% of the illness and disease that we're experiencing. And what is the main cause of stress? This was interesting. Yeah, but even deeper. You're on the right track. You may be surprised to find out that what researchers are discovering today was discovered in ancient times. Again, King Solomon revealed the cause of cellular stress more than 3,000 years ago when he wrote, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Another way to say that is a joyful soul promotes healing, but a broken spirit drains away physical strength. Solomon is telling you what the source of stress is. The source of stress is emotional pain. Now, obviously, there can be the stress of a deadline, you know, things like this. But stress like that, or a financial thing, or a shock, but would we all agree that those kinds of stresses are magnified exponentially when there's an emotional pain component and a negative belief behind it? Right. It's not complicated. You and I are sensitive beings, and when our souls are joyful, it's literally healing to the body. And when we're crushed in the deepest parts of us, this literally drains away physical and emotional resilience from your body. The source of stress is emotional pain. This is what Dr. Helmstetter teaches, and Dr. Ben Johnson, and Dr. Alex Lloyd. They did groundbreaking research in this phenomena in their book called The Healing Code, which reveals that painful and traumatic memories are stored in our cells. See, the job of the unconscious is to keep you alive, and it will turn off your feeler if it thinks something is too hard for you to deal with. So you kind of detach and pull back. However, the pain of issues is stored in your unconscious and spends a lot of energy protecting you from and your body spends a lot of energy protecting you from that pain.
And this suppression of pain becomes an energy knot that can literally create physical disease and emotional disturbance. And it's one of the biggest causes of anxiety. And again, researchers at Emory University School of Medicine in Atlanta have found that life experiences, and specifically stressful or traumatic experiences, can actually bring about changes in our DNA, so that memories of these experiences can actually be passed on. Here's the bottom line. When a painful or traumatic memory is stored in us, this changes or stresses our cells. And medical research confirms that these stress cells remain in fight or flight mode. When this happens, they do not repair themselves as they need to. Just as Solomon observed that the strength of traumatized and unrepaired cells is that the strength of these cells is drained away. And since disease is opportunistic, weakened cells are sitting ducks for sicknesses of both body and soul. So when you're healed and whole, you have healing from these things stored inside you, and when your thoughts are full of the upside, it's literally life to your cells. And there's a resilience in your body that would affect your physical health and your emotional health. On a rudimentary level, you can test how your cells react to trauma. If you think of an event that you can remember, of something that felt really scary, and allow yourself to vividly recall the memory — I'm not suggesting you do that right now — your body will begin to tense up and exhibit danger responses. Even though you're safe and in your easy chair, the memory of a painful thing is sending you into fight or flight. Your cells remember. And even if you don't remember the most traumatic memories in your history consciously, these memories are stored in your non-conscious mind, where they continue to create stress and anxiety. These are the secrets that are keeping you sad and scared and sick, unless they're healed. But good news, because we're multidimensional beings, we have all these resources, not the least of which is encounter. Because by far the most powerful process of healing memories, hands down, is nothing less than supernatural encounter with the one who designed you and knows your pain and anxiety intimately. So tonight you're going to experience that. And I'm going to take you now through a process that I do with my group called cellular memory healing. And this is where if I'm in a group with people, I'm not going to be doing one-on-one emotional healing with them. But there's this neat protocol that Dr. Johnson and Dr. Lloyd developed in their book, The Healing Codes, where they have you praying over the brain centers. And what's interesting, and you don't have to do it this way, but they discovered that there's a wattage that your body emits, electrical energy, your hands and your brain. And they find it very healing for people to just hover over brain centers and pray like this. It's not Reiki or anything like that. It's simply the electrical force of your hands combined with praying over these brain centers and asking God to unlock what's there. And they have quite a lot of success with people identifying a specific memory, praying over the brain centers, and asking God to unlock and loose the body from all of the stuff that's stored there. So what they recommend is that you take a moment and identify a memory that's distressing to you. So we could do that. You could take a moment and identify something that — just ask the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. There's lots of things you're bringing up. We're becoming aware of what we've avoided and some beliefs. And you know what would be a key memory we could begin to work on today. So we just ask you, Lord, to reveal to each of us a memory that has some pain in it stored in our body. guys all have something just kind of coming to mind. All right, well, just kind of hold on to that. And I want you to think about the first time you felt that feeling, because the memory that needs to be healed might even go back to something younger in you, like maybe somebody really was diminishing of you recently. But I want you to take a minute and ask the Lord, does this remind me of something that maybe happened when there was even more painful that happened when I was even younger? See if you can identify a first moment where you felt that same feeling. Now I want you to rate the memory from 1 to 10. How much pain is in that memory? And we're going to do a little exercise. We're going to pray over the brain centers. There's the prefrontal cortex. That's kind of what we might call the conscious mind, conscious thinking, conscious intention, pineal gland, pituitary gland, master gland. Controls major endocrine processes. Then there's the cerebral cortex. I'll show you where the hands go. Largest region of the cerebrum. Deals with perception, cognition, awareness, language, consciousness. The limbic system deals with danger responses. Behavior, motivation, long-term memory. Brainstem, at the base of the skull, where the hard base of the skull meets the soft tissue of your neck, controls the flow of messages between your brain and the rest of the body, controls basic functions on an unconscious level. It also contains the reticular activating system, which is the control of consciousness and makes you aware of things you want to filter out and things you want to pay attention to. There's all these amazing functions. And we're going to kind of pray over these things, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. So the first thing we're going to do when we pray is we're just going to surrender. We're going to put our hands like this. I'll show you the positions, and then I'll walk you through. We're going to do this. And then we're going to be praying like this over our intentional and rational centers of the brain, like that. Then we're going to kind of pray here, which is kind of associated with the fight or flight. Here, kind of around your jaw. Then there's the perception and awareness centers. And the messaging and filtering centers. Then what I like to do is just your heart, your intuitive. You know where you feel so much stress in yourself, kind of right in here. And at the end, we'll go back to here. So I want you to pray a prayer with me, and then I'm just going to lead you through this. And we're just going to kind of soak ourselves. Just kind of cool that the electrical energy of our body, as we just release, it just feels very comforting. I don't know exactly how to describe it. So I want you to just repeat this out loud, but close your eyes, and you might want to peek at what I'm doing with my hands, but it's not an exact science, so don't worry about it if you're... It's more important that you're present, you're letting yourself receive some healing. You're kind of aware of a memory, you're becoming more aware of God bringing that up for you and earliest association with it, and kind of 1 to 10 how you feel about it. So go ahead and cup your hands up in a surrender position and repeat out loud after me. Dear God, the source of all pure love, light, life, and truth, I ask that you meet me in the process of releasing the pain that is hidden in my cells.
I ask that everything in me that is attached to this memory, everything I'm aware of, everything I'm unaware of, all lies attached to this memory that I have believed, all unhealthy patterns, negative programs in my thinking related to this memory, along with all pain and fear stored in my cells, and all physical conditions related to this memory, be uncovered, unlocked, released, and healed by filling me with your light, life, love, and truth. And I pray that this will flow throughout my whole being. And I release this memory as the process continues to unfold in the coming days. Now, I'm going to take you through this several times, and your job is just to soak, just to release this. And we pray, of course, in Jesus' name, B'Shem Yeshua, right? And again, you're going to start here. First time you're going to go through it quietly, and then I'm probably going to speak some things over you the next time we go through it. So again, here we go from here. Now we're putting our hands over our forehead. Just breathe. Receive his healing. He's unlocking. Moving to sort of hovering over the jaw area, the non-conscious memory centers of a more emotional fight or flight can happen. And you're just receiving. You're just letting them unlock and reach into these cells. Now up here to the perception and awareness centers, you're just praying over that, receiving God's love as he goes through your body to bring the restoration. Of your neck here, it's like the messaging and filtering centers, the brainstem. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And now your heart and your intuitive centers. I've got a palm on my heart and one on my belly. You might not feel anything, but you're just receiving. You've asked God to unlock things and to flood it with his light and life and healing, and to unknit your cells from trauma and pain. And he's hearing you. So now go back over your forehead here. You might see him do something. You might sense him. You might hear a word. You're just saying, Lord, every place this is buried in me, come now and release my body, my soul, Lord, from this pain. In Jesus' name, B'Shem Yeshua. Now we're moving here to our jaw area.
they're kind of hovering over our temples, or you can put your hands directly on your body if you like. If they get tired, that's okay. You can rest them on your body. I'm going to pray over our brainstem again. Lord, heal the reticular activating centers where we've been hyper aware on the negative, Lord, and we haven't been able to see what you're doing. Make us focus. Help us to focus on what you're doing, Lord, what your interpretation is. Then over our heart and our belly, you're just receiving. We're going to do it one more time, and this time I'm going to speak over you. Start with, again, kind of hovering over your intentional, rational centers. I receive healing for my painful memories. I welcome release from trauma in my cells. My body is being set free from stress. In the name of Jesus, B'Shem Yeshua, pain is draining from my cells. My brain is remembering good new things. My body's flight or fright response is being calmed and learning to turn off. The true source of all light and life and love and truth is pouring light and life and love and truth into my being. Now we're going to move to that kind of here around our jaw. My soul is comforted. My wounds are healed. Because I'm receiving from him, I'm being mended. Brokenness is replaced with wholeness. I surrender my pain. I receive new life. And you're, as I'm saying this, you're saying, yes, yes. I receive well-being. My soul is prospering. My spirit is receiving life-giving revelation from my designer. Love replaces fear. Trust replaces anxiety. Calm replaces agitation. Hope replaces despair. And now you're hovering over your temples, kind of just above your ears, midway across your head. As I walk in forgiveness, and I forgive those who hurt me, I am freed from the knots of bitterness. I have new responses in my body, my soul, and my spirit. Yes, Lord. In Yeshua's name, love is bathing my wounds. I'm disconnecting from old patterns. By his grace, I'm free to think new thoughts, and I choose new ways to think and talk. My painful memories are being replaced with love, and I have new places in my heart for hope, and layers of stress are falling from me. Put your hands over your brainstem. I have new loving filters for my life encounters. Yes, Lord. I notice new positive things. I turn my attention to new life and growth. I turn away from old patterns that keep me stuck. New life and light is being messaged throughout my body. Truth is setting me free on every level of my being. I'm receiving designer truth, insight, and revelation. I'm becoming sensitive to my designer's love for me. I'm receiving this love. I'm opening up to this love. And lastly, put your hand over your chest and your belly. There is a new peace that is soothing my heart and belly. Love is replacing anxiousness. I am deeply valued, and I express my value in all that I think and do and say. And I value others in all that I think and do and say. I am growing calm inside. The one who created me loves me unconditionally, and I am growing in my ability to receive this love and peace. My heart is being comforted. My inner being is attuned to designer love, light, life and truth in the name of
Jesus, Shem, Yeshua. And now put your hands up. This final receiving. And I want you now to take an assessment. When you think about that original memory that came up for you or that you went back farther to and you discerned from 1 to 10 how distressing it was, I want you to revisit that memory and take an assessment and compare numbers from 1 to 10. And if you have noticed a degree in the decrease of the amount of pain in that memory for you, I would like you to raise your hand. Okay, all right. A lot of you. And if you still feel that, that is just an indication that there's more for you. There are certain memories where there was deep grief. I find that grief very often goes deeper than just offense, right? So this is just an opener for you. At any time, you can just present yourself and this memory to the Father and open it up and ask Him to come. And I promise you, layers will begin to come off. And tonight, Rabbi Nathan's going to do even more deeply specific things of interacting with Yeshua in these things. I've had times where memories were very quickly kind of cleared of the pain. And I went, wow. And then I've had others where when it was, attached to grief, Abba wanted me back with him again many times, right? So it's not a bad thing for you to have your own response to this. So let me ask you, how many of you, your eyes are all closed. How many of you, even in your, maybe it felt better, maybe it didn't. How many of you could sense the presence of God in any way in this process? And again, if that doesn't seem super real to you, your brain was paying attention. And God was paying attention because he asked you. What did he say? He said, if you ask for bread, I'm going to give you a stone. And if you ask for fish, I'm going to give you a scorpion. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And did you not just ask for an encounter with the Holy Spirit? So if this has created a little bit of distress for you, or even a feeling of rejection, because maybe you didn't, first of all, it's just the beginning of our time. Second of all, that's your cue. That's your cue to go deeper in that area, because there's a depth there where he wants to meet you. And it needs to be authentic. So you don't want to lie, right? You don't want to lie about how you're doing. But some of you, how many of you would say that there was a significant change in the pain level of your memory from beginning to end? How many would you say at least a third better? Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? That's pretty amazing. Yes. Yeah, and I kind of developed my own version of it, but if you want, you can get the book called The Healing Codes by Dr. Alex Lloyd. And he goes into this, and basically I created my own kind of version of it. And but it's all about the goodness of God. Again and again and again and again. The truth, the wiring, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And again, I'm teeing up the ball for Rabbi Nathan tonight and tomorrow night. We got some good stuff going. So take a deep breath. There's more where that came from. Our session is pretty much over, but did you have a word or anything you felt you wanted to share? I kind of burned up the time. Well, do you want to spend a few? Okay, come on up.
Let you know what was happening in the aircraft over Lake Huron. Because clearly I made it, but I didn't get to tell you how. So you can imagine the absolute panic, flying in a cloud, no reference to the ground, flying on instruments. All of a sudden, a power surge of upward draft takes you up 1,000 feet in about 2 seconds. And then shortly thereafter, it takes you down about 3,000 feet in about 4 seconds. And you're just thankful that the wings haven't met on top of the plane in a prayer meeting. Because the only thing keeping you alive is the structure of the aircraft. And so you have a choice to make in those circumstances. You can be completely panicked and freak out and do irrational things. Or you can ask God to give you wisdom and rely upon your training, which is cut the motor, reduce the propeller speed, let them know you have an issue, and ride it out. I did all that, and then I said, okay, God, enough already. I need the ice to stop forming on the wings, and I need to get out of this cloud, and I need to have it happen pretty soon. And at 10,000 feet, you have pretty good data reference points with all your equipment, and you can see the outside air temperature is 22 degrees. And so, of course, ice is forming. And it's July. So clearly, this is not a normal situation. And I said, Father, I need help. And within 18 seconds, I flew out of that cloud. The temperature was 37 degrees, and I was in bright sunshine. So the difference between fear and faith is a matter of practicality. Because when somebody puts you in harm's way, what's your default? Do you freak out? Or do you ask God for help? As his creation here, as his sons and daughters who have faith in his redemptive grace and in his love for us, we often fall prey to the seduction of becoming afraid. And it is seductive to be afraid. Because afraid does what? Creates sympathy among all your friends. Is this resonating with you? That when you're afraid, it causes other people around you to go, why are you afraid? I need to. And so it's a method of attracting external love. But the love is always there because our Heavenly Father put it a receptor in ourselves to receive it. It's us who elect not to. And so the real question is, do you ascribe to faith or do you prefer fear? What Julie's given you today, I think, is a recipe for overcoming fear, addressing it head on, and reprogramming the neural pathways in your body, which give rise to all kinds of cascades of biochemical reactions. But what I'm hopeful over the next day or so is that we'll also give you some empowerment into actually identifying your destiny as to why God put you on the planet, and then entering into it unfettered by fear. So, Father, I ask right now, by the presence of your Holy Spirit, that you would reveal to each one here those impediments that have been spoken over them from early on, even in their mother's womb. They weren't wanted. They weren't needed. They weren't desired. They were insufficient in some way. That they wouldn't amount to anything. That they were not a gift from you. Whatever those statements were, made or unspoken by those in authority over us, I break them right now through the power of the name of Yeshua and through the blood that he shed for all of us on that mountain in Jerusalem years ago. And I ask tonight that people would start sensing the shalom that comes from right relationship with their Creator. In B'Shem Yeshua, amen.
If you want to know, several people asked me, if you want to know about that coaching thing that I do, just Shana will take your email, and I'll be sending out a series of videos in a month or so to teach on that. And then if you want to know, you can reach out. Mark is going to be doing a whole session all tomorrow. He's in charge of that at 2 o'clock, and he's got a lot to say in his mentoring of men, and we women are going to love it too. And also, remember that your freedom is going to call your children into freedom, but don't let the guilt of where you've been be a burden on you. God would never put that on you. And I certainly wouldn't mean to, because the upside is so huge, right? It's such great upside. Rabbi Nathan, did you have anything to say about dinner? Shane is going to do that.
Thank you, Julie and Mark. That was a really powerful session. So we have a break now until 5 o'clock. For those of you that signed up for our Shabbat dinner, that will be in the fellowship hall through these doors starting at 5. If you did not sign up, feel free to have dinner and then be back here for our 7 o'clock session. That will start with a time of worship, lead into a time of teaching with Rabbi Nathan, and then a healing prayer service. I also wanted to mention that all of these teaching sessions will be recorded as they are now, just the audio right now, and they will be available online within a few weeks after the conference, and so I'll send you an email about that. We'll continue selling Julie's CDs and books until Shabbat starts tonight, and then we will open up book sales and CD sales again tomorrow night at the very end of the conference in accordance with our Shabbat observance. And once again, I just wanted to underscore what Julie said, that I will have a sheet available where I can just get your name and I can send Julie your email addresses if you're interested in her class. And I just want to remind everyone for future sessions to just please silence your cell phones. That's all. Well, I hope that you found this day already very encouraging and powerful and inspiring. And we'll see some of you at 5 o'clock and the rest of you at 7. Thanks.